Welcome to You Don't Even Like This Band, a podcast about bands you probably don't even like.
We hope you don't know this one.
With your hosts, Adam Todd Brown, Andy Sell, and Travis Clark.
Hey, everybody. I don't know what's happening. I just said my standard greeting.
It had a tinge of another character to it.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
We are Andy's parents.
That's right.
We are ever morphing into new and distinct people.
People complained about our British accents.
Did they?
No, they didn't.
Okay, good.
One person actually said, if I ever do go to England, I'll fit right in.
No one said that.
Like I will.
No one said that.
Like almost like an intelligence asset. I mean, if I'm in your country, I'm an asset, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But like just the way my grasp of the British language.
No question.
Would just integrate seamlessly into.
Got Vasily Matrokin over here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's just what I was going to say. Yeah. Just a second ago
that
before.
Was a KGB spy who blended it perfectly.
Travis said it. Anyway.
England.
Welcome to Podcast Supernova. I don't think I've even said that yet.
You haven't?
No, but I have now. I'm Adam Todd Brown.
Point you have.
Who are you?
Why are you pointing at me?
To cue you to say your fucking name.
Look, that's a very aggressive way to cue someone.
Wow.
There we go.
Double thumbs up.
Travis is a pro.
I feel like that's not sincere. I feel like your raised eyebrows there.
Jesus Christ.
Kind of add a little bit of a.
My eyebrows are where they always are.
Sarcastic quality.
These are just how my eyebrows are. These are my eyebrows. This is my natural eyebrow position.
That's not what they were doing a second ago.
What?
Okay.
All right.
Now you're doing it again.
No, I'm not.
I'm Andy Sell. Hi.
Oh, okay.
And I'm Travis. I guess my eyebrows are sarcastic Clark.
Travis fucking sarcastic eyebrows.
Clark. Yep.
Clark. This is episode 2 of Podcast Supernova.
Oi! We're going to talk about his fucking band. I'm going to go fucking Japan is.
What?
I think he said, I don't know where the fuck Japan is. Is that what you said?
I didn't hear.
I clearly said they're going to go the fuck to Japan they is.
Oh, that's what they said.
So, thank you for making me feel like maybe my British isn't as good as I thought it was.
No, you're right. It's not.
No, I disagree. It's so authentic that just like hearing a real British person, you go, I don't know what the fuck they said.
It's like when you watch British Bake Off, I got to watch it with the captions.
Or when you watch Brad Pitt and Snatch. Sure, sure.
Yeah, I've looked at a lot of Brad Pitt's Snatch.
Hey, Andy.
Performance.
High five, Travis.
Hey, buddy.
Really?
Yeah, bud.
Yeah, because he just said the thing about Brad Pitt's Snatch.
Yeah, but you don't. I mean, you're just gonna tell me.
I can't reach him from here.
Yeah, I can come over here.
Well, yeah.
Boom. That was the high five you could have given me.
You really missed out.
I'm glad I didn't.
You know what? It was like Brad Pitt and Snatch.
Yeah. Electric.
Now
memorable.
I do. All right, you're gonna say it that way. I feel bad that I didn't do it now.
Because, well, here you can.
All right.
So
that was like Brad Pitt in True Romance. Memorable, but not.
Right.
No, it hadn't really landed it yet.
I would agree. How's everyone been since we recorded last?
Really great.
Oh, yeah?
No.
Oh, okay.
But pretty good. Pretty good.
Hey, what was Oasis up to when we left off?
I think they were just getting along really well.
Yeah, things were going good.
Yeah.
They were kind of. They had just released Supersonic, which, huge single.
Does the kid with the hammer ever come back? I need to know this.
Lil Hammer?
I don't.
Is this Lil Hammer ever?
I don't think Lil Hammer ever comes back.
Well, that's sad.
But this episode
I thought he was the hero of this story.
This episode does feature another member of Oasis claiming that their inspiration for music was a beating, which we'll get to later.
I hope it's a different power tool or a different tool in general.
It was. Yeah, it was Maynard James Keenan. Actually beat the shit out of Noel Gallagher. Nice. Crazy story. We'll get there. But yeah.
He beat him in 13 time.
That's a music thing.
And then he had Alex Gray draw a picture of it.
Yep.
I
like that you looked to see when that was so you could cut that out. That is.
I looked to see how far in we are. And I think we're far enough. Thank you everyone for tuning in. This has been great. I'm joking.
Oh.
Obviously.
Are you?
Am I?
I don't know if I can't tell anymore.
So Supersonic.
Yeah, Supersonic, good song.
It's a great song.
Good song that kind of like sounds at the beginning like Dawkins' Dream Warriors a little bit. There's like a
What? You mean the drum part?
Yeah.
Well, that drum part.
The drum part was teach the drummer to do something.
Yeah, that's probably on most keyboards as a sample.
Yeah.
Like that drum part. It's very basic. But that's what's great about that song.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the only thing that's great about it, but what a great fucking song.
Yeah, it's good.
You don't like it.
I do. I said it's good.
You don't even like it.
I like it.
What's your fucking problem with Supersonic?
Andy, answer your father.
Ain't nobody in this fucking room right here gonna tell me it's not one of the top of the chart fucking songs.
This is gonna be a fucking long tops season.
Top of the fucking pops, my son. Jog on your fucking chair.
I'm not gonna do it.
So they release Supersonic. Things are going well. They embark upon their first international tour. And
nothing's going to go wrong, right?
What could go
wrong? These guys on the road?
It's just Oasis on an overnight ferry to Amsterdam. And this leads to one of the formative incidents of Oasis's young career, which is it has just come to be known as the ferry incident.
Is it like Brian Ferry? Oh, yes.
Let's listen to them talk about it and see if we can decipher it at all. Oh, that's going to be loud.
Get on the ferry because we're pissed, but we get on this ferry. As fate would have it, there was a load of West Ham fans on this overnight ferry. It's got a casino on it and the fucking nightclub.
The Thursday night ferry to the Dam. He goes to Amsterdam the on a ferry for the week.
Dam.
What
yeah.
kind of clientele?
Going to the Dam with a bunch of West Hamers.
2 hours
of
champagne and Jack Daniels slammers. The next thing is that sporadic fighting is breaking out all around us, really. Liam is very excited by the prospects of a lot of chaos going on, and he goes and joins in.
Yeah, it was fucking mayhem, man. I loved it.
You can see him running through the windows along the deck. He's having a great time. He looks like he's in a school playground chasing leaves.
Liam at one point said they ran through a casino and he flung all the roulette shit off the table as he was running past.
Look, then there's a fight.
We nailed the accent, guys.
Yeah, I think we really did.
Benny Hill.
The next time I see him, he's still running, but he's got policemen running after him.
Someone's punched someone, someone's kicked
someone,
someone's
got nicked,
and then we're handcuffed. Sent down to the bottom of the boat, we get locked up.
Woke up next day, and I spoke to the customs, and I said, look, you know, I'm kind of missing four people. Do you know where they are?
We were heading back, not having any money. Couldn't phone money. Anyone, couldn't do nothing.
They got deported,
the couldn't do nothing.
Marcus and Alec. And
they go, no money.
You fucking what?
You fucking what?
And he says, you've fucking blown it, you've blown it. But that was punk rock, man. Manage went, fuck them. Never listen to a word them clowns said anyway, you know what I mean?
And I call McGee.
So, that happened. They basically, I understand that's hard to make out if you're just listening.
I followed
to us listening to it on the podcast.
There was a point where I was like, now they're just making noise. Like, they're not saying words anymore. They stopped.
I mean, the basic gist of the story is they're headed to Amsterdam.
The Dam, mate.
The Dam. The edit to the Dam to open for.
That was a little Italian.
Edit to the Dam.
Hey, we are Oasis, everybody. It's a champagne supernova in the sky.
It's a me, a Luigi.
It's a me, a Liam.
So they're headed to Amsterdam on an overnight ferry, which, wouldn't you just fly? I mean, I guess the flight is probably so short.
Well, I mean, Europe is like just a giant, like, I think that's close in my mind. Like, I don't know where anything is. I can't tell if that's like you and I saying, we're going to go to Burbank, or if that's like, I'm going to New York from Los Angeles. I don't know how
Well, this ferry ride is apparently like 9 hours.
Oh. Well, ferries are pretty slow.
But
yeah, that's a long time.
That's a long time. Like, even if it's overnight, maybe it was cheaper, and that's just how.
I don't know. I mean, I've been on ferries, like 3 hour ferries, but I don't think I've ever been on a 9 hour ferry.
A 3 hour ferry.
Like that to me, that's not a ferry anymore. That's a cruise.
It's no longer a ferry. Oi, mate. Each ferry is going away over 3 hours. So I don't think it's a fucking ferry anymore, mate. I think we own a fucking cruise. There's a goddamn casino over there. Fucking West Ham is over there. But you don't want a fucking shit. I fuck you, you fucking lot.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
That is kind that's, of how, it, how happened. It happened. Yeah. They're on this overnight ferry. They start getting goddamn hammered. And there's a bunch of English soccer
fans. Jack Daniels and champagne?
Yeah. I don't know if they were drinking that together.
I'm like, is that a cocktail that they made up?
Is that a champagne supernova?
That's what a champagne supernova is.
Oh, it could be. Maybe that's, yeah. Everyone at home, give it a shot.
Give it a shot. Let us know.
Try the champagne supernova.
Describe it to me in great detail.
And just, you know, if you got a bit, sprinkle some corn coffee on it.
It's a champagne glass full of Jack Daniels with a shot of champagne. So Liam joins in a fight with a bunch of English soccer fans, and most of the rest of the band joins in. And before they make it to the first show of their first international tour, most of the band is deported.
Deported back to England.
Back to England.
I do think it's great that he ran to a roulette table and grabbed a bunch of chips and threw them up in the air.
I kind of want to do that.
I really want that.
I think that sounds really fun.
I hear that and I'm like, man, I wasted my drinking years.
It's the kind of thing you only see in movies.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Like every now and then I think about certain things that I wish I had. And I did a lot of dumb shit when I was drinking. But like, I kind of be like, I want my drinking time back so I can do these things that I will definitely never do now that I'm not drinking.
Yeah. I'm going to get in some strange cars.
Yeah, I've done that. I've never kicked over a motorcycle.
Oh, I've done that.
Oh,
no. I've never done it either. It seems never risky. Gonna do it unless ever, I'm drunk.
I knocked over a lot of mailboxes too. Like,
oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, no, but not like the federal ones, the ones that you, the blue ones.
Oh shit.
Yeah. I went and knocked over a bunch of those. That was fun.
Are those not federal?
No, they're federal.
Oh, okay. I
knocked over the federal ones.
Like,
not
you know,
just
when
the ones.
You go around knocking mailboxes off the houses with the fucking baseball bat when you're a kid.
Allegedly, prank call. Didn't really do it.
Color me impressed.
But I kind of want to throw up some fucking chips.
I mean.
And say, did he say something like, time to cash out, mate?
Probably.
Or like, fish and chips for me mates. Right? Like, I just.
I mean, I do like a fish and chips. If you ever have a chance, go to Gordon Ramsay's fish and chips place.
This would have been after Passenger 57 came out. So people would have been saying, always bet on black. So I kind of like, I want him to say, always bet on black as he throws the chips around.
Oh, yeah. That would have been funny.
Because it was like Passenger, that was the big line in the trailer for Passenger 57. So it became like a, right?
Yeah, I'm sure they played that in England. I'm sure they were watching that movie in England.
So this incident inspires another really famous moment in Oasis history. Oasistery, you want to combine that into one word.
I don't get it.
Oasis and then history.
Yeah. Okay.
And then you either drop that H or you just don't fucking say it.
Okay.
And
there's the variable.
You drop the S at the, actually, no, you can even keep the S at the end of Oasis and just drop his from history.
Oh,
which we're trying to do now anyway.
You could put it in the beginning, make it Hoasistery.
Hoasistery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's easier.
That's not bad either.
Yeah.
I'm very lost.
You put the H at the end, but make it silent.
Mm.
Sure.
Sure. Okay.
So this incident inspires another famous moment in Oasistery. In 1994. While they're getting more and more recognition, they've put a few singles out by this point.
So that was the end of that tour.
The documentary jumps like right off into something else, but there was probably more to that tour. I'm sure.
Yeah,
they
I'm like, was that it? Did they get sent home? And that's
to be
that's
fair.
The end of it?
If you looked at Oasis, you'd be like, that shouldn't leave England. Like that's the most English you can be.
Yeah.
It should probably stay in England.
Yeah, I'd want to keep that contained.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that was our policy in the 90s. It was a containment thing. I do remember there was one like a reader poll in England where Liam Gallagher got voted like third most hated person in the world behind like and it was behind like Saddam Hussein. And I remember even then thinking like that's like government misinformation. No one's thinking that much about Saddam Hussein. Shut up.
I wonder if he was upset that he was number three or if he thought he should be number one.
I mean, this is long after the Gulf War, really. So, like, Saddam, I mean, like, yeah.
Not Saddam, Liam. No, does Liam.
Well, it's before the second Gulf War, which, yeah. If you remember, Oasis put out that really pro-Gulf War album right before that.
Wait, did they?
No.
Oh,
that didn't happen.
Gulf War. I'm just like, I mean, I don't know. Maybe.
It's called Freedom Toast.
Maybe they were big Tony Blair stans.
So this, what happens after this ferry incident, in 94, they sit down for an interview with NME writer John Harris. And in the interview, they discuss that ferry incident, and it turns into a violent argument.
Violent.
Were they arguing about over what Liam said when he threw the chips? Like, he was like, I said, time to cash out.
I would love it.
He's like, no. I told you to fucking sign Beetle and Black.
Oh. It was in the movie.
Yeah, I made him Australian in that version. I don't know why I did that.
They basically argue about whether what happened on that ferry makes them more or less rock and roll. Liam is arguing that,
oh my God,
this is just so what bands do, man. They cause trouble and they tear shit up.
Yeah, haven't you ever seen a Poison video?
Yeah, and Noel's like, shut the fuck up then. And very vehemently opposed to Liam's take on it. My favorite part is when
Noel is like an Ian MacKay type where he's like, no, rock and roll's about respecting other people.
I do
stop
like
slamming around.
There's one part in the interview where Liam is talking about all this shitty behavior, and he goes, the Sex Pistols, they were the best band in the world. And Noel goes, no, they fucking weren't. They released one fucking album, mate. So in 1995, a recording of this interview was released as a single under the band name Oasis, except with an asterisk where the I is.
Oh, that could be anything. That could be anything.
On the Fierce Panda record label. Anyone subscribe to their monthly singles thing?
Fierce Panda?
Fierce Panda,
Fierce Panda?
Sure.
I thought they were a World of Warcraft game.
Do a lot of split 7-inch with the Jesus Lizard.
Ooh. I love the Jesus Lizard.
Everything they put out is a split 7-inch with the Jesus Lizard.
Fierce Panda, no, but I was on...
it's just David Yao interviews.
Yeah. I did listen to a lot of aggressive lemur records for a while.
Oh, sure, yeah. Sure, mm-hmm. Sure.
I was a timid otter guy.
Yeah, you still are.
Oh, timid otter. I have a timid otter tattoo on my shoulder.
Oh, really?
Blade.
Really?
On my shoulder blade, yeah. Right there on the blade.
It was problematic when their front man, Justin Otter, like spit on that woman at the show they played.
But that's what otters do.
Yeah.
So you can't hold them to that standard.
God, if anybody gets that reference, please get a life.
That's Andy talking to himself.
Yeah. Yep, what I am. Yep.
So this recording, I remember back in the early days of Napster, when Napster was just total Wild West and you could literally get anything off of there that you wanted.
Yeah, and you had to be careful because you could get killed.
What?
Killed?
Yeah, like the Wild West.
Oh, yeah, there would be duels.
Yeah.
And you'd have to meet someone in a chat room at high noon.
Right.
Things like that.
Sure could.
And if anybody caught
Okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm. We're good.
Yep.
We're
what good. Happened?
No, nothing.
Wow. You did not finish that download, my friend. You are not seeding that torrent.
So, I actually downloaded this off Napster back in the day. And I would, in the early days of eBay, before they realized they needed rules, you could download songs from Napster, burn them onto a CDR, and sell those CDs on eBay. And
100%.
I sold an Oasis B-Sides album that had...
You're just confessing to crime after crime this evening?
I mean, eBay shut my shit down.
Did you do it with any of Nirvana stuff? Because if you did, you really stiffed them on their penny royalties, guys.
Andy, penny royalties. Penny
royalties, buddy.
Thank you. Thank you for the high five. Should we listen to...
I really want to hear it.
A little bit of this fucking argument? Let's do it.
Bullshit.
Well, you've been running on about, right? For
if you think it's transcribed.
If you think rock and roll, to me, if you think rock and roll, if you think rock and roll, it's getting arrested.
Rock and roll is about being yourself. And I want a fucking boat and a drink.
Rock and roll is about music. Music.
Music.
It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about.
It sounds like it's five people having an argument.
Yeah.
It's not about you.
Fucking the Pistols, then.
Who's talking about the Sex Pistols?
They're the best rock and roll band that ever fucking come out.
They're not. They made one album.
Would the Stones have been anything without getting arrested and get people
Who's Q?
Is it the guy interviewing?
Okay. Yeah.
Because the Rolling Stones got arrested, they were a great rock and roll band.
Nobody had a bullshit.
I like this. Super indignant was a parenthetical in that, just as if that wasn't implied.
If you start going on like that,
why? Do you think it's cool?
Like that.
No, not at all.
And you get on your stage and you
not at all. What I'm saying is, do you think?
I mean, you get into situations you want.
You think it's rock and roll to get thrown off a ferry? That was your quote, you prick.
What's amazing is that if you watch this video, the whole argument is written out like a script.
Yeah,
and you still can't figure out because they're what they're saying.
Going off book.
Sony, right? He wants to come and fucking see us, right? And they've got a flight out there, right? And Marcus was going on to me, going, "What do you think about that, then?" And I'm saying, "No, man, what do you mean? What do I think? I think fuck all about it. You think I might as well end chaps with him? They mean fuck all to me, you know? I don't even know him, right? And if they fucking got a flight out there, they're going to get it back on whatever. That's fuck all. Don't talk that bullshit."
Well, what I'm saying to you,
I just said, fuck it, it happened. No, as far as I'm concerned, I was it. I'm into it now.
What I'm saying to you
is, out of that cell and I fucking got out of that piss bucket and that. I laugh about it and I think, yeah, fucking
bollocks, man. Oasis.
It happened.
Not.
That was reality,
mate.
We're not a bunch of...
Oh, my God.
Oasis
is seen as being a band who's similar to the Rolling Stones and the Pistols, if you like it, wherever they go.
Musically.
And that's what he wants to be.
Musically.
Let me tell you.
And he knows it.
All right.
This is...
Musically.
Was the interviewer drunk, too?
Probably.
But they were 30%.
This is three people saying, "Fuck you, Dad!" at one another.
In it. What is this? Fuck all of that fucking fucking sick bitch music, right? Is this the only fucking call is a Sony?
No, it weren't.
Oh, you get a fucking lie. I don't give a fuck about your Marcus. Whatever.
So that is...
Wow.
We'll link to that. You can find it.
How long does that go on for?
The interviewer, it's like...
15 minutes.
He's like a reality TV story producer, just like... He's like feeding them.
Well, he was just...
He's just like...
I mean, at that point,
just, you like, could walk tossing, away. Yeah.
Just tossing kerosene onto that fire. Just you like, oh, just this, I'm going to get them to kill each other.
You could just leave the tape recorder there and walk away. It would have been no different. Those two were going to sit there and just scream at one another.
Yeah, that recording made it to 52 on the pop chart.
That's amazing.
In England. It is still the highest charting interview release in UK.
Okay, but that's are there a lot of interview releases that chart?
Yes, actually, that's a huge deal over there. Oh. But I honestly thought you were going to say it was the highest charting argument in England.
I mean, by extension, probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
So on August...
real quick, I didn't mean to be dismissive of you, Andy. I just, there was a point where I was... Really
you were trying to get to something. No,
Yeah. But there are interview discs were like a really big deal at one point in England.
Yeah.
Shit. All right.
So, on August 29th, 1994, a few short months after Kurt Cobain died, Oasis releases Definitely Maybe, arguably one of the greatest debut albums of all time.
And their opinion on whether or not Courtney Love killed Kurt Cobain.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely Maybe.
Definitely Maybe.
Definitely Probably. That's what that album would be called. And yeah, this album, I didn't realize this was, they took a couple different shots at recording this album, and it was not coming together. And they play one of the demos from the first attempt at recording this album, and it really does sound like shit. Like, it sounds good, but it sounds too clean. Like, when you think of Oasis, like, it's sort of a wall of sound kind of thing. Yeah. And all the instruments are bleeding into each other. And that's what happened on this album. They initially recorded it as people tend to record albums. They did all the parts separately and then had someone mix it. And it wasn't working. So they went back and recorded it again, but this time they played each song live three times, just in the studio with no separation between the instruments.
Wow, okay.
And they ended up still having to bring in this other producer named Owen Morris to do the final mix. But that's how they finally end up getting the sound you hear on that album, is they're all in the room, no separation, all the instruments bleeding into each other. And they, I wonder if they just kept that throughout, because their songs sounded like that for a long time.
Yeah, I imagine.
Either that or they eventually got better better production money. Who knows?
I will say, look, I've not done a lot of studio recording, but the few times I have, we tracked live, it just feels better.
Yeah.
It's just more fun. I don't know if it ends up making a better product. Like, you know, if you're really trying to make some experimental weird shit, I guess you need to lock everybody in an isolation booth and do weird shit. But to actually play in a band, if you're into that kind of thing, is a lot of fun. It's a lot more fun than just sitting around and like, oh, now's my hand clapping part, you know, like,
yeah. I gotta go and put headphones on and listen to the band and then sing
and go
over it
and like, go, uh-huh, yeah, that's right.
I would be into doing that. It sounds like quite a bit of fun. The album cover, I would argue, a pretty famous album cover. Everyone knows what it looks like. Band standing in a fucking living room, except Liam laying on the floor. Weirdo.
That means he's dead.
Yeah, and he was throwing chips in the air.
Yeah, casino chips. Getting deported. The album cover was shot in Bonehead Arthur's house.
Oh, good old Boney Arthur.
Oh, wait.
Bonehead.
Are Bonehead Arthur and Lil Hammer friends?
Maybe Bonehead is Lil Hammer.
Lil Hammer might be Bonehead for sure.
That could be how he got in the band.
It's probably
by secretly assaulting Liam.
You know how, like, after a while, you're like, I don't want to be Lil.
You're like,
anybody.
I'm just going to hit this fucking guy with a hammer.
So I think Lil Hammer.
I do know what that's like.
Lil Hammer was like, I need to reinvent myself. Can you guys start calling me Bonehead? Like, it's just you know,
right? Because when I hit you with the hammer,
I'm gonna break your every fucking bone in your head.
You can see the bones in your head.
Yeah, why not Hammerhead?
Oh shit, guys, can you call me Hammerhead? Is it too late?
It's too late.
No.
Keep making
we already carved it into stool at the pub.
Shit. All right, we'll just go with Bonehead.
See, I can't do it either. I can't. It's. I sound bad.
Well, I was.
Yeah,
it.
I thought
I was in that moment.
Really? Yeah, I thought there was a chimney sweep.
I thought we were on a ferry to the dam.
Yeah. So on the album cover, Liam is laying on the floor, and they mention at one point in various works of Oasis lore that this had to do with some sort of, like, Egyptian symbology that the photographer had seen at some point. But in there's an interview that I'll link to. It's actually just the hardwood floors in Bonehead Arthur's house were very prominent and noticeable. And the photographer said the picture would look like an advertisement for varnish if they didn't cover the floor in some way.
Well, that's kind of a compliment.
So Liam laid on the floor for the picture.
Just the, oh, yeah, it's going to look like a fucking varnish ad. Throw a Liam on the floor.
Yeah.
Just put a couple of Liams down.
They just knocked him unconscious immediately.
Hit him in the head with a hammer.
Yeah.
Put him on the floor.
Liam is also what they call the powder to, you know, when you, never mind.
I'm just confused why we're trying to act like he just isn't on ecstasy or whatever the fuck. Like, he's just laying on the ground having a good old time, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the photographer who took this picture did, like, he goes into a lot of detail about what everything that's happening means. And he's the one who said that's why he had him lay on the floor.
I think they got there, they got high and drunk, and he was like, oh, fuck, we gotta take that photo. Snap. All right, we're done. It's one shot, right? They didn't do a shoot. They weren't there all day.
Man. No, seems like this was a whole thing.
Yeah, there are extra images. Like, on the album, there's another picture from another room.
Oh, yeah, there is.
The wine in the glass next to Liam, not wine.
What?
I know you've probably been thinking it was this whole time.
I mean, I did.
And not to shake anyone's foundation.
Oof.
But
look, I don't know if I can handle this.
It's not wine in the glass. It's Rabina. Anyone ever had this?
I have not. Is that just wine flavored juice?
Yeah. It's some kind of, I gather, non-alcoholic
wine
fruit drink in the UK.
So juice.
It'd have been really great.
Sorry, did you say juice?
Yeah.
Okay.
Non-alcoholic fruit drink.
I loved it if you'd have been like, it wasn't wine. It was the blood of Christ. The sacrament that happened. It's no longer wine at that point.
And there is a myth that it's not wine because the band couldn't afford wine at the time, which is a crazy fucking myth. Yeah, that's insane
because wine is, you can get cheap wine.
They have always been able to afford drugs and alcohol.
Yeah.
That is a hallmark of this band. It's Rabina because that photograph's better. Apparently red wine, when photographed, tends to look black. And the Rabina retains its red color.
So they weren't having it to drink it during the thing. They just wanted it to look.
They wanted it to look like they drank wine.
Yeah. The whole thing is pretty staged.
And that ice cream was just mashed potatoes.
That milk is glue.
And they cut a quarter out of Noel Gallagher, out of his back.
Oh,
side, away from the camera to spread him out a little bit so that there looked like there was more of him.
Actually, every member of Oasis is just a facade. There's no back to them. It's just wooden stands.
And they sprayed hairspray all over Liam's face.
Yep. All facts.
The photographer asked the band members to bring items of personal significance to the shoot.
Liam brought a hammer.
Yeah, it's like a fucking school art project or something.
Liam brought all of his emotional baggage.
Noel's favorite movie, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, is on the TV.
Well, he didn't bring that with him.
Well, they probably had like a...
Oh, like a VHS, yeah. Okay.
Fucking tape.
Oi. Put it on the fucking TV with a fucking tape.
Fucking tape in the video machine.
Fucking TV in the fucking VCR.
Fucking tape.
Which scene from The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly?
Oh, but it's a fucking man. It's all of the great.
The ugly one.
No. The good one.
Okay.
It's one of those two, maybe the third.
Your notes say The Good, the Band, and the Ugly, and I want that to be a record.
Oh, yeah.
I want that to be a record.
That's going
to
be the name of the podcast when we do the Ugly Kid Joe podcast.
Hard pass.
Yeah, I mean, I'm doing
it's going to be a season where we talk about Good Charlotte and Ugly Kid Joe and how they relate to each other.
How do they relate to each other? They're just bad?
Well, we're going to find out on season one of The Good, the Band, and the Ugly.
There is a photo of footballer Rodney Marsh.
Give me that for my mate, Rodney Marsh!
Who played for Manchester City, the favorite team of Nolan Gwigsy.
Who the fuck is Gwigsy?
Paul McGuigan?
Okay. Yeah.
Is his name Paul?
He's the drummer, right? Or is he the bass player?
Tony McCarroll. Gwigsy is the bass player.
Okay.
Fieldy is the bass player.
Fieldy is the official bass player of Unpops. Yeah.
And Dave Sylvester is the drummer. Yeah. Silver Bullet.
Another footballer, George Best, is pictured at the behest of Bonehead. Mm. At Bonehead's behest.
Listen, my friend, when Bonehead calls, you fucking answer. You show up, my mate. You get on the fucking ferry. You get over there and you pose for a fucking Bonehead photo.
Andy,
why aren't you answering me, mate?
I didn't know there was a question in there.
There's a question in there. Oh, there's a fucking question in there, my son.
God, great. What is it?
Why don't you return my calls?
Like, Dad, I'm just busy.
Shut up! You shut the fuck up!
See you Thanksgiving?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Okay.
Yeah. There's also a picture of Burt Bacharach.
Tell your mother I said hi. She doesn't talk to me anymore. There is a photo of Burt Bacharach.
I couldn't imagine.
Yep. Burt Bacharach, one of Noel's favorite composers. There's also a picture of him. Because Creation Records was struggling financially, only a $60,000 budget to promote the record.
That's huge. Well, that's huge now. No one spends any money on records anymore.
1994, it probably wasn't huge because people were throwing so much money at rock bands.
People still bought records
at that point. Go ahead.
No, don't worry about it.
Okay.
That's how I feel about most of the times you talk.
Ooh. Me too.
So the strategy they landed on was placing ads in magazines the label had never used for advertising before, like sports magazines and dance music periodicals.
Dance music periodicals.
Oi, you like dancing? Maybe you like these fuckers.
Were they advertising in
We're Creation Records
prior?
Here's Oasis, you fucking dancers. You like playing footy? Great. Here's a fucking Oasis.
They sent a representative down to the sock hop.
It worked, though.
What?
They even got a surprise 5-star review in the dance magazine Mix Mag for Definitely Maybe.
Wait, how do you get reviewed in a dance magazine for a record?
Well, maybe, dance music magazine. Like yeah, a music about like dance music.
What are we talking here? Dance music. We're talking about Utah Saints. We're talking about like Hadaway.
What's happening right
this
now?
This is 1994. So
probably Hadaway, shit like that. Yeah. What is love, baby?
Crystal
Don't hurt
Waters.
Me.
Yeah. Okay.
And they're like, we had it all wrong. We should have been listening to this the whole time.
Yeah.
Well, they were right. Oasis is fucking great. The album was an immediate success. Debuted at number one on the British charts. Fastest selling debut album in UK history at the time. In its first week, it outsold the number two album, which was The Three Tenors in Concert, 1994.
Which we are doing a podcast about after this.
Man, yeah, it's going to be called Potterati.
Luciano Potterati.
Yeah.
They outsold The Three Tenors by a 50% margin.
Holy shit, that's one and a half tenors.
Yeah.
That changed everything.
It sure did.
Certified 7 times platinum, 1 million copies sold in the United States, 8 million worldwide. 2006 NME Reader's Poll ranked it the greatest album of all time, Andy.
Andy, the greatest.
Why am I being singled out
here? Because you doubted how great it was.
Because at the end of greatest album of all time in the notes, there's a comma and then your name.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it stands to reason that you would be the one singled out after I read that sentence.
And also in 2006.
So what I need to do is talk to the guy who wrote this.
I don't want to blow your mind, but it's you.
What? You said you didn't want to blow my mind. I feel like that was your plan the whole time.
It's coming from inside the studio.
God.
So very optimistic album. People responded to that. Because, again, this was fresh off of Kurt Cobain killing himself. People were all bummed out. This is how fucking Ace of Base happened.
But also, too, I remember the time you're like, these guys are, like, destructive at each other. They're not going to put a bullet in them, you know? If I need to be a fan of something, I need something that's going to stick around for a little
bit. Well, there was, I mean, this was in that period of time, too, like, 94, right, where what Nirvana had changed had already changed. And it was like...
You mean everything?
Everything, yeah. But, like, everybody was looking for... Because, like, what, Radio Creep was around this time.
Yeah.
Creep was earlier. That was, like, 92.
No.
Yeah.
Radiohead's Creep...
Yeah.
It was 92 or 93. Let's look.
I'm going to say 91 or 92. I'm going to say it's early 90s. I'm going to put 1991 on there.
93.
That doesn't feel right.
Yeah. Released 1993. Yeah.
Oh, released, sure. But it was an idea.
And that's the thing about ideas. They're bulletproof.
You can't escape them.
Album released in 93 also.
Yeah. Mm. So this is like that time where... You know, the record companies have moved on now to the stuff influenced by Nirvana. So this is where grunge is not grunge anymore. It's now alt rock.
Right.
We've got.
Well, it's getting there.
Yeah, it's getting there. But this is like, so you've got bands like Radiohead and Green Day. They were a pop punk.
They
band,
were but around, they, but they hadn't broken.
No, not yet.
By
but
this
they,
point,
in 94, they broke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like I listen to Definitely Maybe, and it sounds like all of that to me. It sounds like that, like angst. Like I feel like it sounds like it would be at home on the Angus soundtrack. Like it sounds
like
it's
lyrically,
very
19, you think so?
Even lyrically, a little bit. Like because despite a lot of the, like, there was a lot of music.
Like name one grunge song that has the same. Message or tone as a song like Supersonic. Like Supersonic's almost a fucking rap battle song. Like that is just a dude bragging about how fucking great he is and how great he feels.
But then there's other songs on the album that are a little like...
I mean, there's like Cigarettes and Alcohol, Rock and Roll Star. Those are party songs. Like... It's not a sad album. Like it's a happy album.
No, I don't think it's a sad album. I think that, but it has this like I don't know. There's something about it's the guitars and the way he sings. There is something kind of like, I don't want to say sad, but a little dark.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know, there's a little bit of this, like it feels like 1994 to me just is like it's a perpetually overcast day with like a kid sitting at a cafeteria wiping his brow, his bangs out of his eyes,
getting
like,
hit in the head with a hammer.
Hell yeah.
Like, you know, it's a fall day and, you know,
yeah,
nobody knows but at I least, exist.
At least lyrically, it's not that.
No, yeah.
Like, it's a pretty
but upbeat. But it also does tap into a lot of the stuff that grunge did, but the other side of it where it's like you've got kids, you've got somebody who's like 12, 13, 14, 15, like at that turbulent time in your life, and you hear something and it's just like, what? Like, I can imagine being like, I mean, I can't imagine it. I was 14 when this album came out. It didn't. This wasn't what hit me. But I can imagine.
Was it a hammer?
Like being that kid and hearing like just the chorus for what Columbia, where he's like, I can't. I'd love to tell you how I feel, what the way I feel, but the way I feel is oh so new to me or whatever. And it's like,
oh, yeah.
If you're like a kid hearing that at that age, it's like, whoa, that's so profound.
Yeah. Maybe.
No?
I just like the beat.
Okay.
It's got a good beat. You can dance to it.
All right.
Yeah, I don't know. It just, it feels like and that's one of the things you always, like, is always written about it, too, is that it's just a, like, lyrically, at least, I mean, it's, there's moments, I guess, where it sounds dark, but it sounds like a rock album to me.
Yeah. Well, and then a lot of the guitar stuff sounds like, you know, like
it sounds like a
Slash at his day job.
It sounds like a glam rock album in a lot of spots.
Well, there's hair metal elements to it. There's glam elements to it.
Cigarettes and Alcohol is basically Bang a Gong by T-Rex.
Yeah, buddy. But there's stuff that just feels earnest in it, you know? And I think that is tapping into a similar thing that a lot of the later grunge and what, you know, they started calling alt-rock did. Like, I mean, Weezer.
Ugh.
Early Weezer. It's kind of early like that.
Weezer,
like,
made 1.5 good records and they should have stopped.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. They're a singles band. But before...
Because you cannot be married and like Weezer.
Before Oasis really blew up and before the album sold the way it did, one of the things the band had to head out on the road to do was a tour of Japan to promote this album. And for reasons never really explained in the documentary or anywhere else I can find online, Japan fucking loves Oasis.
I have a theory.
Let's hear it.
It's everything that you think is cartoonish about England is now in front of you. It would be like making Mickey Mouse real. You're like, oh my God, I get to see the thing that I didn't think was real.
And you, one thing you always hear and see when it comes to Japanese audiences is they're very polite. Like, there's a story about the Beatles performing in Japan once, and they put gifts on the chairs for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But there wasn't anything saying this gift is for you. So everyone fucking left them there and didn't take them. Every time the Olympics roll around, inevitably you're going to see a video of, oh, look, here is the Japanese fans helping clean the stadium after their match. So I think it could also be Oasis was so, like, they are the polar opposite of polite. And I think Travis is right. It's like seeing that, like, almost cartoon depiction of everything that the society you grew up in tells you not to be probably has something to do with it.
And from what I've heard about touring bands, like, if you have a Japanese fan or a Japanese audience that knows, like, they're not fickle. They don't, like, come and go. Like, they are your fan forever. They don't, like, once they're on board for the whole ride.
Yeah, by all accounts and everything I could find online, Oasis is still fucking beloved in Japan, which, good for them. And they actually paid some homage to, like, they talk about this a lot in the documentary Supersonic, and we'll link to some articles about it. I don't think I've ever seen the video for Acquiesce, which is one of my favorite.
Oh, I don't think I have either.
Oasis songs.
Oh, are they like in the karaoke bar?
Well, they're not even in the video. It's just a Japanese dude who is stylized to look like Liam Gallagher. Can we talk about how fucking great the Master Plan album is? Which is just their album of B-sides and rarities.
Is that what it's called? I remember that record.
It's called the Master Plan. Yeah. This is the first song on the Master Plan.
So this is a whole Japanese Oasis? Like, they're not in the video at all?
Right. Oasis is not in the video for Acquiesce at all.
Despite looking like we're about to see Oasis on stage.
Yeah, they do... they make it... The way the lighting at first makes it seem like that's Oasis on stage. But it's just a Japanese dude. Several, actually.
Wearing the jacket and doing the pose.
Doing the pose. Yeah, everyone is nailing their parts. God damn it, this is a good song.
He's even got the little, the microphone holding. I forget. Andy, you've seen Oasis?
No.
I've seen Oasis.
You're the only one of us who's seen them
three
live.
Times.
Okay, wow. You think we're ever going to get a...
And they played this song the first time I saw them, and I almost lost my fucking mind. I was very excited. Anyway.
What's great about this video is that it is very Japanese and very 90s at the same time.
Yeah.
There's just so much, like, there was a pair of sunglasses on. You're like, yeah, you don't see that anymore.
Dude wearing a working class hero shirt.
Yeah.
It's John Lennon.
I wonder when that video came out, because it looks, like, recent.
Yeah, it looks like it might have been...
2000s?
Yeah, 2014 is when it was posted.
That's when it was posted, but do people still make music videos?
Well, they probably would have. I think they had a greatest hits or something out around that time. So this video might.
On that, is it a photo of a hammer?
Yes.
Is that on the.
All hammers.
What if the guy that hit him, his name was Maxwell?
Hmm.
What color would the hammer have been?
Gray. Probably gray.
Probably a black.
Like a shiny gray.
Gunmetal, I think.
Teal.
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah.
Hey, Noel's dad beat music into him. Speaking of hammers.
Wait, isn't that also Liam's dad?
Yeah. He didn't want Liam to get into music. For some reason, in this documentary, the story about touring Japan and the story about their first tour in the U.S. are just out of the blue separated by a story about Noel talking about getting the shit beat out of him by his dad.
That's a weird... Like, I feel like it's one of those things where they kept being like, well, we can't put in like the first 5 minutes. It's a downer. You know?
So we just sprinkle it throughout.
We'll just push it.
Where are we
going to
get it in?
And then it's like, oh, well, you don't want to do it before the first tour because they get deported. And that's kind of, you know.
Actually kind of a brilliant thing where you're like, oh, man, look at they're going along. Look, they're just having the best life.
No one's going to see it coming. Jesus. We'll get them. It's like the old cat coming out of the closet at you.
Yeah, so we're still doing great. But, you know, my father still punched me directly in my button.
Man, that's terrible. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Noel Gallagher.
Oh, it's all right.
I wish you didn't.
And what he did is he took a fistful of music and he just punched me in the fucking button with it. Just over and over.
Oh, my God.
He does say that. He says dad beat music into him.
Right.
He puts it like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, buddy.
Yeah, it's.
You need to.
So if anyone out there has kids.
Noel, it's not your fault.
Beat them.
Beat them with the music.
Whoa.
They'll be rock stars.
Well, yeah.
I understand why you think that draw anecdotally.
Well, I mean, there's clear.
That there's a cause and effect here to this.
Andy, I've been watching a documentary for this podcast, buddy.
You have not.
I know what I'm talking about.
Here's what you do. Pick a record that you like and beat your child to it. And that's really.
Now you're just adding uncontrolled variables to this.
No, they're very controlled. You pick a record, not any record. You pick a record you like.
That sounds like the opposite.
How
of
do you
uncontrolled.
Arrive at the record, though? I mean,
well, it's simple. You probably have to do something Black Sabbath if you don't want them to grow up and be a fucking loser.
Yeah, you want it to be something. I mean, you're not going to beat your kid to an Arcade Fire record.
Yeah, what the fuck's wrong with you?
First of all, no one should be beating their kids.
I mean, unless you want rock stars.
Yeah. If you look, if you want your kid to grow up with a career making ceramics, beat your kid to an Arcade Fire record.
I question your assertion that there's a hard causality here to observe and learn from.
Would you call me?
What did you, what'd you call Travis?
Did you call me a causality, bro?
Wow.
No.
What's that fucking about, bro? You want to go? I'll give you a cause.
Ality.
Is that a new Mortal Kombat finishing move?
Get over here. I'll give you a causality. Oh, my God. I want to play Mortal Kombat as the Gallagher brothers.
Oh, that would be so fun. Or NBA Jam. Liam Gallagher dunking from the free throw line.
You gotta get the casino chips flying. You gotta put the big head mode on for that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Top of the key, Liam Gallagher. Oh, deported.
Big eyebrow mode, more like it. Because he's got that big one gigantic eyebrow.
Definitely maybe, baby.
Like Lakers guard Anthony Davis.
I got it.
Okay, cool.
The brow. So the band's first U.S. tour was radically different from their Japan tour.
Oh, well, of course, it's totally a different location.
It's a different place, for one thing.
Different people.
Different time zone.
Yeah.
Different culture, different buildings, different architecture.
Different continent.
Different cigarettes, probably. Different food.
For sure.
Different food. So many different things. Can you think of anything else that would be different, Andy?
I'm going to say
different cars.
I was going to say different cars. That was exactly what I was going to say. Different hobbies, different
sports teams.
Yep.
You know, it could also be pertinent.
Different desserts.
Different language. Things. Different language.
Yeah. Andy, go on.
Oh, different language. That's good.
Yeah, it's a big one.
I didn't even think of that one.
Well, related to that, they've got a different, entirely different.
They have different money.
Okay.
Totally different money.
Different money. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Andy?
No, I think we covered it all.
No, okay. No, different shoes. They have a different shoe policy.
Radically different shoe policy.
Yeah.
I think, honestly, policies kind of in general over there might be pretty different because they have a different government, you know?
Do they have a different government?
Yeah, they're totally different. It's not the same one
in Japan, different than the one we have here?
I think, pretty sure.
Yeah.
I know they have different watermelons.
Oh, sure.
They have to make them square to fit in their tiny refrigerators.
Right.
Because you can't make them circular.
So then that means they also have different refrigerators.
Different refrigerators.
That's huge.
Different refrigerators. Woo! We did it. So they were still mostly unknown in the United States when they did their first show at the Whiskey A Go-Go in Los Angeles. Ever heard of it?
Mm-hmm. I haven't. Is it still around?
It's a whiskey bar.
I prefer the vodka stop.
That's actually accurate.
I don't drink vodka anymore. I've been to the whiskey.
I don't think I've ever been to the whiskey.
Really?
I've been to the I performed at the Troubadour. Mm, no big deal.
Wow. That's fucking cool.
But I've never been to the whiskey, I don't think.
I performed at the Roxy, but I've never been to the Roxy. I have been to the Roxy. I've been to the Whiskey. I've been to the Roxy. I've been to the Troubadour.
I've been to the Key Club.
I've been to the Key Club and Billboard Live, which is what it became.
Viper Room.
I performed at the Viper Room.
King Tut's Wawa Hut.
Ah, God. Again, I have only been to.
I've only been to the San Diego location.
Right.
Mm.
But not the Manchester, Glasgow, wherever the fuck it was last episode.
I went to Pharaoh's Fuzz Pedal Shack.
I went to the Mummy's Sludge Pit.
Oh, my God.
I performed at Red Rocks.
In Colorado?
Yeah.
Fuck. Were you and John Tesh?
Yeah.
Good for you, bro.
Hell yeah.
It was my high school graduation. Oh. And John Tesh played it?
I played in the band for them. Graduation. So.
That's less impressive, too.
So the band has their first big show in the United States at the Whiskey A Go-Go in Los Angeles.
Oh, sorry,
ever heard of it? And in the days leading up to the show, the band does a ton of meth.
What?
In their defense, they thought it was cocaine.
What?
Yeah.
But here's the thing, guys. You're playing the Whiskey. Like, it's a cool place if you're like the lore of Sunset Boulevard.
Sure they do because they're from England.
Right, but it's not a reason to load up on meth or cocaine.
Well, I mean, look, if you go to the Whiskey, you're going to be like, oh, I have to do the cocaine.
Well, I think they were just generally loading up on cocaine around this time.
Oh, sure. So like it wasn't even a special thing for them? Like it wasn't like a
and it was
quest.
Probably it was... they get to the U.S. and aren't 100% sure where to find cocaine.
Oh, and also, too, there's that whole thing where, like, in England...
they just walk down the Sunset Strip
down to the...
loudly asking people outside the Saddle Ranch if they knew where to get coke.
In their defense, they were probably, oh, you can fucking coke? And they're like, meth? And like, yeah, oh, yeah. They had no idea what they asked.
Well,
for.
It is, yeah. You know, Saddle Ranch is an Ohio State bar.
But
so.
It's a lot like how in England, meth is called cocaine and cocaine is called meth. It's just it totally flipped.
Oh,
yeah.
Totally.
So you think when you're asking for meth, you're asking for cocaine, but you're like, no. Mm-hmm.
Simple mistake.
Fucking, yeah, that makes sense.
It's like Churchill said.
They have it labeled on the streets in England. So yeah. You can, so you know to
they
check.
Snort the lines in the other direction. Yeah. High five.
High five him, please.
Fine.
Thank you.
Jesus Christ.
So... when I say everyone was doing meth, I mean everyone, including roadies, everyone associated with the band. So they have video of this show in the documentary. One of the roadies was so fucked up that when he put out set lists for everyone, he just put out a completely different set list for Noel.
I love that.
And there is video of them playing, I think they play Rock and Roll Star first, and... Noel just is playing a different song than the rest of the band.
I feel like Liam is behind this. I feel like
probably.
Can I just say funny. That is? I know it's because everyone's fucking out of their mind on meth, but to be like, let's put a different set list for each band member is a really funny prank. That's super hilarious.
And then to still start playing a different song after Liam goes, "This is Rock and Roll Star," and Noel's like,
"No, it's not.
We'll see. We'll fucking see." And yeah, there's video. They end up getting in this big fight during their first show in the U.S. at
and what does he
the
do?
Whiskey a Go Go. He gets agitated and throws a tambourine at Noel.
Here's the amazing thing about Britpop as a genre. It doesn't matter what band you're talking about. At some point, someone in that band throws a tambourine at another band member.
Oh, yeah.
Every Britpop band.
Because they all have tambourines.
They all have tambourines, and they all have tantrums.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this actually marks one of the first points in Oasis history where the band basically breaks up. So before their... I think their first album was out by this point, but they're on their first tour of the U.S. They get in this fight during their first gig at the Whiskey A Go Go, and Noel just disappears. No one in the band can find Noel Gallagher.
He is like, so
where
that night,
in the world is Noel Gallagher?
He's
on meth and he's gone.
In the night, disappears. They, in the documentary, talk about going through his fucking phone records to figure out where
in
he 94, was.
Before they went through his phone records?
I think he was making phone calls from the hotel.
Oh, okay. Not like his cell phone.
Yeah, he didn't have his iPhone with him in 94.
They couldn't even afford fucking red wine for their photo shoot. Nobody has a cell phone.
These fucking bums. And they find one phone number in San Francisco, and they call that number, and... The person on that who answers pretends they don't know where Noel Gallagher is.
That's great.
And when they hang up the phone, they're like, he's there.
That's
he's
I
in
also,
San Francisco.
This is Joel Gallagher. Oh, no, where he is.
Joel Gallahan. And this is a quote. He says, I met this girl at an Oasis gig. I don't know what I thought was doing. It was just going to disappear. And on the bright side, though, this inspires... one of my favorite Oasis songs, the song Talk Tonight, which is about this incident.
Is it really?
Yeah. And this is another song from Master Plan. I cannot recommend that album highly enough. It's all their B-sides from the time we're talking about and the time shortly thereafter.
I don't know what it is about British bands, but my God, did they fucking love B-sides.
Yeah.
Like, if you're a fan of a British band and you've only heard the records, you haven't heard a fifth of the rest of the fucking shit they put out.
The reissue of their first album has an entire other album of just B-sides.
And this is a great example. The Verve is a great example. There's shit that you go, how did this stuff not end up on the record,
guys?
Yeah,
how is this not on? Like, this is one of Oasis' most beloved songs, and it's not. I mean, it was finally on the Master Plan, which is a compilation of all their B-sides and shit. But yeah, this song is about the incident where they get in the fight, and Noel was thinking of leaving the band. It's always been one of my favorite Oasis songs. It's called Talk Tonight.
It's so weird that you can harmonize your anger if you're these guys, you know?
Yeah.
It's a weird thing.
Until the morning. Ah, no.
About how you saved my life. We didn't save it. They saved his life?
Yeah, I left that out of the notes. He got attacked by a bear immediately.
Oh my god!
Getting to the woman's apartment in San Francisco.
There's a lot of bears loose in San Francisco. Am I right?
What do you mean?
You know what I mean.
Oh, I don't. Me and Andy are
The California brown bear is on our flag because
the one with all the syphilis.
That's the one.
Okay.
What?
Yeah, syphilis bear.
Yeah. Hey, Andy, I'm syphilis.
No, this
bear.
Is not happening. We're do not, you want to hug me? This is not taking root.
My name is syphilis
no,
bear.
No, you are not.
I'm your best friend.
There
I'm
is syphilis no syphilis bear.
I'm syphilis bear. Does and not I want to be no. your friend.
You are Travis syphilis trying bear. To make a character
syphilis
happen.
Bear. Oh, my God,
that
syphilis bear.
Okay, no, you don't do that.
I'm syphilis bear. I'm showing up like I don't really care, but I'm syphilis bear. Don't hug me.
In between
can you get
the first
syphilis
and
that way?
Oh, God damn it.
Yeah. If you hug a bear, just, good question, Eddie.
Syphilis bear? How do you get syphilis?
Well, if you see a giant bear like me named Syphilis Bear, and you come up and you give me a hug, I give you syphilis as a gift so you can remember
can
me.
Can I give the syphilis to my friends?
Absolutely.
This is wildly
pass that syphilis onto your friends. Everybody's going to meet their ends when Syphilis Bear comes to say hello. He's going to cuddle you up and give you a dozies.
Oh man, Andy, we have fun here.
Andy, why are you fighting Syphilis Bear so hard?
Yeah, what did Syphilis Bear ever do to you?
He wants to just hug you and give you a
syphilis.
Gift.
A gift. Gifilis.
Gifilis. A syphilis is the gifilis that you could cure, but why would you want a syphilis bear? A give and a care. Come on, Andy, give me a hug.
Andy gives Syphilis
no,
Bear.
No, I'm not. Okay, first of all.
Yeah.
You're trying to. You just said a thing about hugging a bear gives you syphilis.
It's true.
Syphilis and now bear, you're sure. telling me to hug the bear.
That's right.
To get syphilis from Syphilis Bear.
Okay. Andy, I don't understand why you don't want to have a gift of love. A giftless of a syphilis from a syphilis bear. A syphilis bear. It's a syphilis bear.
Syphilis bear.
I can. Wow, this is the most me I've ever been.
We should keep this all in.
You should not be yourself.
Yeah, that thing when people are like, hey, just be yourself.
That's for everyone that's not you.
Yeah. It's funny because I've always done that when people are like, just be yourself. And everyone's like, I don't like that guy.
You should have listened to yourself then.
My syphilis?
No.
My syphilis?
Selfless?
Syphilis bear, I'm a syphilis bear. I go around and I give out a care. Hey, Andy, don't you want to share my syphilis?
Okay, you're doing this whole, you're lifting your legs while you do it. You're like really into it, and it's starting to hurt me that I'm so against it.
You are pretty into it.
I am
and I'm
pretty
kind
into
of,
it.
I'm starting to turn around on syphilis bear.
That's great, Andy.
I'm not touching you. I don't even, look. We'll talk about it.
Syphilis over syphilis.
Syphilis bear.
Syphilis. can we sell syphilis bear t-shirts?
I don't know why we wouldn't sell syphilis bear t-shirts.
And it's just a giant bear hugging Andy.
Why? Why am I involved in this?
Because the syphilis bear loves you. He loves you.
That's not my problem, man.
No, it's not a problem.
No, it's not a problem.
The syphilis bear needs to understand that this is not happening and get over it.
Syphilis bear.
It's just between syphilis.
No, it's between syphilis you.
So Noel finally returns to the band. And everything's great for the rest of the time.
What?
For the rest of history, everything.
No, that's it. That's
all worked out.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. Yeah, I think they put out one more album. And
that's it, huh?
Yeah, they wrapped it up, went back to a quiet life.
That
of,
makes sense.
Living the day job life. Actually, no, they fired Tony McCarroll.
The drummer.
Yeah.
The drummer.
During a music video, right?
Was it during a
this
music
video? This is the one they had to teach how to drum, and that became a song.
Well, that was last episode. That's kind of how Supersonic comes about, mm-hmm. is they're like, they just tell the drummer, go play something because you suck at your job and you need to just like get in the flow. But there's interviews with Noel where he's like, look, we had Wonderwall coming up. Don't look back in anger. This guy's not going to be able to play these fucking songs on drums, and we just need to replace him.
You know what? They do a fucking Kurt Cobain thing. They're filming a video, and they don't
do the plus.
Kind of. They don't know what to do. They show up to film a video. I forget what it's for, but it's one of their early songs, and they decide to dig a grave and bury the drummer.
Oh, that's right.
In the video.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then they fire him after that.
Yeah.
My God.
Is that a problem?
No, that's totally reasonable. That's exactly how adults should behave.
It's very true.
Let's listen to Noel Gallagher talk about drummers in general and Tony McCarroll quick before we get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, and that was Tony's last gig. Yeah, I probably made up my mind knowing that Champagne Supernova was coming up and Don't Look Back in Anger and Wonderwall, that he wasn't going to be able to play those songs.
They just are so British.
It's become apparent recording, definitely, maybe.
This music makes it sound like someone's going to be murdered.
Trying to get the drums right. And it was never right.
When we were doing some, I'd say and stuff, Noel was like to me, it's fucking last time he's ever in the fucking studio. I was going to Tony, you've got to get your shit together, Tony. Oh, bye, Tony.
Hold the X amount.
Really smelly, useless, talentless, losers, man. I mean, fancy having a job where you bang things all day. That's like orangutans do that, don't they? Gorillas and monkeys and that. They just bang things, like bang dustbin lids on
He looks like he is a puppet.
And drummers,
he doesn't look like a real human.
No, he doesn't.
Fucking sack them all drum machines, I say, man.
Well, look at the dude next to him. That's Bonehead.
That's Bonehead?
He looks like one of the gorillas, like the animated.
Yes, he does. He 100% does. He looks like a propaganda cartoon of a British person.
So he just hates drummers.
That's you could get rid of drummers. He just hates.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think he was more saying, like, imagine being a drummer and being bad at it because all you do is hit shit.
Look, fucking orangutan, right?
Which, I don't know. I don't play drums.
Drumming is fucking hard.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good drumming. Bad drumming is easy. Good drumming is fucking hard.
Yeah.
So they end up.
Not a controversial opinion.
They end up replacing Tony McCarroll with Alan White. His first gig with the band is on the British TV show Top of the Pops. No pressure there.
Actually, not really, because it's all to tape. They don't have to really play.
Yes.
What?
It's all lip synced.
Is it?
They're just backing the tracks.
Vocals are live.
The vocals are live, and the band is a tape.
Mm, okay.
At least that's how it used to be. I'm sure it still is.
Okay.
And shortly thereafter, they commence recording their second album. I hope it does well.
It'll do all right.
I'm not familiar.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. Until then, that is episode 2 of Podcast Supernova. You coons.
Dean Koontz.
Dean Koontz.
Dean Koontz specifically.
K-O-O-N-T-Z. Yeah. Yes, correct. That was good. This was fun.
It was great. We made a new friend.
Yeah. Syphilis Bear.
Syphilis Bear. He's coming around.
Not a friend.
He's losing his hair, but he's Syphilis not. Bear. Andy, let's be your friend Syphilis Bear.
I mean, he's not going to be a friend with that attitude.
Yeah.
Well, then I'm going to keep this attitude up.
Why? I want to give you the gift list of my syphilis.
I want you as far away from me as possible.
Can't run away from your feelings. Nope. You can't run away from your feelings. I'm going to put a spiral of...
You are debating my consent at this point, Syphilis Bear.
Wow. You're being really aggressive with syphilis, Bear.
Yeah, right, man.
I am. Not, I am having boundaries. Jeez. I am asserting my boundaries.
Yeah, and I feel like they're kind of infringing on
what?
On my joy. You know, Andy, when you build up those emotional walls, you're really depriving yourself from connection with others.
This is classic manipulator, predator, abuser language that you're doing.
Well,
right
I
now.
Am a bear.
He's got you there, Andy. He is a bear.
Sure. Shouldn't you be hibernating? Isn't it? It's October.
Oh, right? I'm hibernating, my friend.
I don't
get it.
I don't.
Get it?
No.
Get it?
I really don't.
Oh, Andy,
you get it?
You get it. And you're going to get it.
No, that's not.
Syphilis bear.
Hey, what do me and Al Capone have in common? It's syphilis.
I thought it was going to be like tax evasion.
Oh, syphilis.
Yeah, syphilis.
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 Yeah.
A scar. Yeah. Do you have a, no.
Syphilis.
Notoriously
scar.
Syphilic.
All right.
So that's our episode.
Also, I'm part of organized crime.
Do we have anything to plug?
I have something to plug.
By all means.
Oh, no. What is it?
It's Andy. I had to restart my Twitter account. So if you have any interest in my dumb jokes, follow at Track Rivals on Twitter.
You had to restart it?
It's a dumb, long, boring, uninteresting story. But yes, essentially, I had to start a whole new account.
Well, I can't wait for our 6-episode podcast about that.
Syphilis, bear with me. I'll tell you this. Okay. Later.
And where can people follow you at Track Rivals?
At Track Rivals.
Andy, do you have anything to plug?
Andy.
There we go.
I have something you could plug.
I was recently on an episode of the Composers podcast.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great podcast. They helped movie
me.
Scores.
Yeah, they helped me write my theme song.
Did they?
It's a fullest bear.
God fucking damn it.
Nailed it, syphilis bear.
You got me. And that was fun, so you should listen to that.
High five.
No.
We high five syphilis bear.
I'm not. High five, okay, this is Travis.
This
not,
is syphilis bear. Give me a high five, buddy.
God damn it.
Give me a high five.
I think if that was Travis, he would say this is Travis.
Yeah, that's true. Give me a high five and it'll all go away.
Will you stop if I high five you?
Oh, 100%. I lied.
Stop it! God!
Bad news, friends. You just got syphilis.
So, Andy, you just got syphilis. Go on.
Andy underscore cell, S-E-L-L.
As you know what's under the score?
Y-P-H-I-L-L-I-S.
Andy syphilis, I love it.
No.
No.
Please change your name to that.
No.
Please.
No.
Fine.
No.
Fine. What else do you have to plug? Anything?
Literally nothing.
Follow me on Instagram at Adam Todd Brown, Todd with 1D. Also follow me on Twitter at Adam Todd Brown, Todd with 1D. And patreon.com/unpops. If you're listening to this for free, you could have heard this magic months ago. You fucking losers. All right, should we get out of here?
No.
Andy, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Syphilis bear, say goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody. I gotta go and make sure to hug Andy's big toe.
Travis, say goodbye.
Bye, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you.
Two goodbyes.
Well, one
no,
was
no,
syphilis
only one
bear.
Was syphilis bear. That's not me.
And
that's
then the
different...
other one was Travis.
Yeah, there's two different people. Well, one's a bear.
Yeah, one's a bear.
One's a bear.
Syphilis bear.
It's a syphilis
and then
bear.
There's syphilis Travis. I mean, just Travis.
Syphilis Travis.